Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Picture, if you will, a time and a place where in a single moment, everything and everyone you know is stripped away from you and your entire life is turned upside down. An event impervious to even the Twilight Zone. Yes, I'm talking about a third grade new parent dinner. The Twilight Zone after show starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
That's right! Here we are, the whole gang back together.
Yes!
Hello! Is it Chaos Jay you were looking for?
He's here.
He is here. We missed you. I don't know that you missed us, but we missed you.
All right,
well, we're glad to have you back. And next to him, of course, it is the angel in our midst.
Oh, wow.
I'm just commenting on the comments from last week.
Yes, hello, it's me.
That we're looking for.
It's me, Angelica Trey.
And next to me, Raven.
Hello.
So here we are talking about Point of Origin. And before I ask everybody what they thought, I thought we were on a really good upward climb the last couple weeks. I really liked the last two episodes. And then there was this one. Raven, what did you think about Point of Origin?
Oh, well, you know, when it ended, I think of you now at every ending, because mm-hmm. I wonder if you like it or not.
That's sweet.
And because he has such an opinion.
Well, I like that you would think of me, like, the more terrible the ending is, I assume that that's how much more strongly you would think of
this
me.
This terrible ending, it reminded me of you.
Yeah.
I wanted more.
But honestly, the rest of your life, terrible endings in anything,
right.
I hope will make you think of
yes,
me.
Forever.
You know, like, 10 years from now, I'm going to get an email like, yeah, I saw this movie, it had the worst ending. How are you, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wanted more.
You wanted more?
Yeah.
I mean, I think...
Okay, yay! Someone agrees.
No, I agree real quick. Yeah, I wanted more, and I really just wanted a lot more. I had so many questions that were unanswered, and I get that that's the whole thing about Twilight Zone, but at the same time, I felt... excuse me. I feel like they could have given us a little bit more, but we'll dive into that later.
And Atra, your thoughts?
I kind of agree. It's been on a bit of an upward climb,
yeah.
But this one was a little too on the nose for me. It was just very straightforward, and honestly, I found myself wanting to launch into another dimension, and just like, well, and just kind of have a whole episode about the, you know, maybe transporting
the other dimensions
or something.
I wanted to see the other dimension, actually.
Exactly.
I wanted her to get sent
that's
back.
So you wanted more.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
If that's what you meant by it, then yes.
I did,
I wanted to see less of the on-the-nose-ness and more of the sci-fi-ness.
I thought, Angelica and I were talking before the show, I think last week was the one week where they had the right balance of social commentary with it still being really interesting and entertaining. It was a little heavy-handed last week. Some people in the chat thought it was far too heavy-handed last week, but I thought it was the right balance. This one, I think the scales were definitely tipped way in the you know what we're talking about, right?
Wink, wink,
yeah,
wink.
Right. So this was about as subtle as Baby Doctor, I thought. I think that, oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Baby.
Dr. Baby.
I wish people could have seen the look I got when I said Baby Doctor. But, you know, I think that there's a lot of interesting things about it. There's great performances in the episode. Mm-hmm. We'll go through all that. But I think on the whole, it was I don't know. It was just a little too obvious, and I don't know. Sometimes I feel like when Jordan Peele comes out at the end, he's going to scold us for not appreciating the lesson we were just told. And then he has an ice cream cone. I'm like, oh, that just threw it. It's like, I can't take you seriously right now.
See, I like that.
No, I thought it was, I did, but I couldn't. I think it was funny.
Yeah. Right.
But I was just like, well, I can't take this seriously. Like, why do you have ice cream?
I legitimately said to myself, why does he have an ice cream cone? And then I went, oh, ice cream truck.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, exactly.
All right, got
it. If we let go of the on the nose, because it seems like that's their thing.
It is.
Yes, this show is the on the nose zone. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Might we enjoy it a little more?
If they put it in the title, no, I don't think that would help. Let me just, 1 second. In the chat, Garrett North says, it is Garrett North. This episode was about as subtle as a sledgehammer. Ah, but a sledgehammer from another dimension, I think, is the part that you're missing. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that.
Actually, thought that I was one look of our past. Phones.
You say what?
I thought that ding was one of our phones, and I'm too. Like, no, wait, that's right, a sound no, effect. Not me. I was like, who's the idiot? I think it's me. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
I didn't even necessarily have that much of a problem with the fact that it was so on the nose. I just wanted them to give me a better explanation. I felt like they took so long to drag it out to kind of get you so emotionally invested in her and oh my God, look at what's happening to her, that they failed to get you caught up and say, okay, well, this is what's going on. She's actually not from this dimension, mm-hmm. and she is from this world where this happened. That's what I needed. I needed to know what happened. These random-ass flashes that you're giving me was not enough. Like, obviously, we can figure out what happened. Some kind of apocalyptic event happened. But tell me more. Explain to me why you guys have such a problem with them.
These people,
the pilgrims, which I thought was an odd choice of words to describe, essentially, immigrants.
Well, I mean, who are the original immigrants to this country?
Pilgrims.
Yeah,
right.
You know, and what did the pilgrims do? You know, just some smallpox blankets and, you know.
They named some really cool ships. I mean, the Mayflower, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Why was it called the Mayflower? I don't know.
Did they sign the Mayflower compact?
Like, right. I was waiting.
Believe so. I'm thinking of a good pun right now, and I'm working hard on it.
I was going to betray my ignorance and make a joke about the Nina, the Pina, and the Santa Maria. I'm like, well, wait a minute. That's Christopher Columbus. I'm way off.
Oh, man. All right. Way off. You know what? This isn't a history podcast, so let's keep moving
Welcome
forward.
To the history zone. But it's history zone. Of another dimension. I do agree with the point. Like, I would have liked to have seen more of it. I think... Let's talk about Jennifer Goodwin. I think she did a great job as someone who has no idea what information they're trying to get out of her. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen this sort of a thing, you know, I mean, you see it pretty consistently. I mean, on the big screen recently, you had that in the Captain Marvel movie. I mean, you have a lot of these people are like, yeah, look, I don't even know what you want. I mean, you know, and I like that the upbringing that she had is just like, well, obviously I'm going to be able to buy my way out of this. And a couple of different times, that's what she goes to. But I thought she did a good job as somebody, you know, going through the literal physical excruciating pain, but also just the emotional pain of being ripped away from her family and having no idea why. You know, usually you know why you're ending up in a facility where people are interrogating
you. Well, it was cute that she really thought that it had something to do with her letting her maid use her address.
Yeah, which was only like, you know, 2 minutes before her maid gets dragged away.
Did you guys have any thoughts on that? Like, did you have a suspicion of why she was there or anything?
What do you mean?
Oh, you mean like why?
Before she found out.
So Jennifer Goodwin.
What were your guesses for why she got taken away?
I think it was because she was going to let the charter school believe that her maid lived. No, I actually never thought that for a second.
I had a weird moment where I was like, maybe this is a crazy episode about charter school. Charter school?
Yeah, like, do not lie to your charter schools.
Yeah, it feels a little bit more like a Goosebumps book now.
Well,
but
people are in jail for that type of thing.
Yeah.
No, they are.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bribing into school.
Do you think Lori Loughlin could have gotten her maid's kid into a charter school? I don't know. I don't know in the Twilight Zone whether or not that would have worked. But I didn't really actually – I didn't have a real thought as to what it was. I didn't think actually that she was from another dimension. Turn it back on you. Did you have a thought as to this was where she was from or this sort of thing?
Well, it was interesting for me because I think the first scene where they did try to indicate maybe something's going on with her, she's staring out of a window and her eyes look kind of glazed over. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the cinematography, the CG work that they do with that, I've seen in other works, and generally it's used for like androids. So for a second, I thought maybe she was was a robot because her eyes. But
it's funny you say that. As you were talking, Leo Lima, it popped up in the chat. I suspect that she was a replicant, which is a reference to Blade Runner. Blade Runner. Or something like that because of her eye. When she was. Right. Well, that's the story that it was based on. When she was looking at the sky. Yeah, so there was that look. I wasn't quite sure, you know, who she was or what she was. But look. There was a whole Stepford Wives vibe to her. So, you know, the very, like, you know,
Stepford
somebody.
Kind of thing?
Yeah, there was somebody who said, I thought, Garrett North again, I thought she looked like a 50s housewife, so I was confused when she pulled out a modern iPhone type of device. I mean, just go to the suburbs. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, yes, it's definitely heightened for the show. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look that different than this, especially like the wealthier part of the suburbs that, you know, me and my friends would go trick-or-treating on Halloween, so we would get the big full-size candy bars. And, you know, I know that neighborhood where Jennifer Goodwin's character lived. But I certainly didn't live there. And, I think you'll kind of get that vibe. And, you know, the interesting thing was when we see her with her friends – well, she is certainly the least terrible of all of them. She's actually a decent person. Right. She does say to her housekeeper, yeah, sure, of course, you're like family. Yeah, you can use the address. I feel like the other two ladies would have been like, oh, yeah, let me think about it. And as soon as she walked out the door, she would have called INS, or I guess it's called ICE now. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been like, yeah, there's an undocumented lady walking down the street.
And I think you saying that, though, is... I think the shock for some people, because the comment is, I am a good person. But, you know, my mate is this and my friend is that. And I am. And I think that is the shock when you end up, in the case of the Twilight Zone, in this place. What am I doing here? Because I'm a good person.
Well, I think on top of that, too, her kind of showing she has a little bit of give, you know, in terms of that, like, moral or that sweetness. Was sort of an indicator towards maybe she relates in some way. So it was kind of tying that, and I think they're trying to do that early on.
I'm sorry.
No. I was going to say, what were your thoughts? Because I saw that you had something. We're not used to having us all here. You know, it's a rusty machine.
You hear other sound effects going on, and he's sucking my teeth. And you're like, wait, who's chaos. He's over here. Okay, that's a good perspective. I think that, yes, she is deep down she's a good, well-meaning person. But she definitely is privileged. She comes from a place of privilege to a certain extent. And I feel like for her maid, I forget her name now. She brings it up when she gets to the same place where she says, like, I'm not part of your family because you don't know my kids. Again, let's jump back to where they're having that interaction where she's asking her, you know, to borrow the address. And she's like, oh, yes, of course. Like, you're part of our family. But then she also reminds her, too, oh, could you please get that? When the doorbell rings, like, oh, you're part of our family. But don't forget, I'm still your boss.
Yeah, you're part of our family, but don't ask us for health insurance like one of her friends.
Right. Now, I did like that when you get that table scene, that instead of it just being a bunch of, you know, chalky white women sitting around the table and saying those kind of mean things, you did have a mix of people. You had a black woman, you had another white woman, and you had an Asian lady. So I like that they gave you a little bit more diversity, but hearing that, you know, hearing people all say the same things, normally we get that one broad paint stroke where it's just, you know, oh, look at those bad white people saying those mean things. But the truth is there are a lot of, you know, everybody has some, you know, can have moments of bigotry that, you know, just kind of comes out in spurts. And I like that we got to see that.
So that's how you know that we have, at least in some small way, evolved as a culture. Because
just a little bit.
Suburban bitchiness does not know the limits of color.
Exactly.
Yeah, everyone can be inclusive, and everyone can be an awful, terrible person.
Everybody can
regardless
be
of where their ancestors are from.
Or it's a dialogue on socioeconomic status. And
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Sure, definitely.
Well,
definitely.
Well, that's, I think that's
the point. If we go the Twilight Zone way.
It's not about their race. It's about their income level.
Right, it's definitely class.
Yeah. I thought that there were a lot of interesting things that that happened along the way. There was a great line that her husband had when she was first being processed. He says, "This is America. Everything is a lawyer thing." Because the guy said, "Like this isn't a lawyer thing." Mm-hmm. And I mean, that is actually true. You know, a lawyer can't get you out of everything, especially if you're in any kind of facility like that. For you know, again, even you know, any one of us could be there for a reason we don't know, and you could call your lawyer, and you may or may not get to see them. But I thought that was just sort of an interesting part of the commentary, too, because it's like, I know that you think that you, mm-hmm. you can get a lawyer. But let me ask you first, Raven, were you surprised when they sent the rest of her family home? And it was like, oh, no, you're not free to go. But yeah, right. They can all go back to what they were doing.
What I wondered, I was surprised, I guess would be the word, but I wondered if what she said made him question, like, this one might be one of them. How did he know these are okay, but we have more questions for this one? Because he brought them all. They could have just taken her the same way they just took Anna. But to bring them all in, and I don't know if it's maybe something more about the way she talked or maybe something, the fact that she was willing to help Anna, did that let them know, like, oh, they helped their own. Let's keep her here. Let's see more about her. I wonder what made them keep her.
Okay, now, can I jump in real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so that's a good take. And then what about, I thought maybe she really didn't have memory of where, you know what I'm saying, of who she was and where
she
came from.
She references these nightmares that she has.
Right,
yeah.
She just has these nightmares. What if Anna, while, yes, Anna was her maid, Anna was strategically placed in her life to keep an eye on her?
It does seem like she was her oracle or something, if you will, like guiding her through the.
That's a theory that I was rolling around.
See, I had the feeling that that facility was for all kinds of people who are here illegally, whether they're from a country illegally or from a dimension illegally. What did you think about that, Angelica? The fact that, you know, her maid was there in the same facility, but by all indications, she was not one of the pilgrims.
It was definitely a moment for me where I was like, okay, there's a lot of women in here. They're all wearing the same jumpsuit.
Right.
And she's wandering, and it's very stoic. You know, we're not getting a lot of information.
Yeah, but who wore it best?
I mean, I think it looked fantastic on everybody.
Oh, right answer, by the way. Yeah, that's a very 2019 answer. Yeah. In 1986, we would have said they all looked like trash bags. But anyway, that's all
right. I like the jumpsuit look. It looks
all right.
Nice.
Well,
very
anybody
portal chic.
Anybody in the chat wants to start portal a Kickstarter chic. To get Angelica one of those orange jumpsuits?
Don't forget about the charcoal
she'll wear
gray
it
gray
here.
Turtleneck.
That's true.
That.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, she'll
wear
it for the last episode.
She'll
already have that turtleneck.
Great. So you wear that ensemble on the film. I'm sorry. I totally interrupted your
No worries. I knew it had to deal with immigration in some way, but I was trying to figure out
where she was from.
And, you know, obviously we could tell there was something a little off with her and that maybe she was wearing a sort of facade, you know, hence the eye glaze.
I just thought she was from Canada. For the Canadians in our chat. I just thought they would think that was funny.
And then once we kind of... We had Anna sort of cryptically lead her through some back alleys,
yeah.
And then we see some familiar faces. I knew there was something a little more metaphorical here.
Otto, the janitor / guitar player at the supermarket.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand.
And he's like, we're from the same place.
Yeah, right.
We'll see. Okay, so again, in the context of taking and putting this, you know, against what we have currently in our current society in real time. For one, and it could just be me, but I felt like as they were taking us through these different moments, I felt like the lighting got darker around her, and I felt like it kind of darkened her features a little bit. And like I said, it was lighting, but there are more fair-skinned Spanish people. And only just because we're looking at her maid, and well, why is her maid there? And then the person that was talking to her, I believe she might be Spanish as well. Mm-hmm. So then that's kind of where my mind kept going. Even though, yes, I do remember the whole eye thing, but that's kind of where my mind kept going. And then when he said, she's going to speak to you and you're going to hear it as English, that moment, I wish they would have given us an outside moment where, outside of her, we could have heard what that other language sounded like. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know. Like, I just kept thinking, like, okay, it's an immigration thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, and ultimately it was, but I kept thinking, I still wasn't thinking another dimension, space, any of that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and one of the things that's come up a couple times in the chat is true, and it's sort of what we were talking about. It's like, okay, so once it's identified who she is and why she's here, maybe they don't have the capabilities, but let me ask you first, Chaos, do you think that they couldn't send them back? Because the logical thing to do, if you're going to overextend the metaphor for immigration, is we're going to send you back now.
Correct. Yes, I think they knew how they got here, but they didn't know the technology right. And the method with which they used to get here. And right, and I felt like that's probably one of the biggest things they were doing while they were tapping into everybody's brains, was because they were trying to see if, through hacking their memories, if they could actually see anything that would kind of give them, you know, like any kind of indicator on what kind of technology they used to actually jump dimensions like that. Which that's kind of what I thought that was really what it was. Yeah. I don't think they really cared what happened in the other dimension. They just want to know how you got here and how we can get you back there and keep you from coming back here again.
Right, and I think that finding out the method and the technology would have been a really great episode.
I don't know if there is a back there, because it would be the equivalent of a they came from a war zone or they escaped
or
from
it could even
someplace.
Be for the future. Mm-hmm. I mean,
but I well, for the wherever context it is, of what's I
think
happening
it's just,
now.
I think it's just decimated, but yeah. I think there is a place, mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, I think that that's kind of the point. You know, yeah. You have people who are refugees or just right. people come across the border here, that it's just whatever they're leaving behind is terrible. Yes, there is still right. a there, but it's in varying degrees of, mm-hmm. you know, existence and whether or not they should go back.
And the metaphor was pretty straightforward. They're yeah. seeking a better life, you right. know, and I think that's... That's all we needed to know for the sake of the episode.
She was a child,
least.
Right?
She looked very mm-hmm. much like a child.
Yeah, I mean, because they talk about how there were two instances. You know, there was like a present day crossover from the other dimension, and then there was one 30 years earlier. Angelica, what did you think about when she breaks out and she finally gets home, and her husband is standing there with the kids, and I expected something different other than what we got, which was just like, you shouldn't be here. I thought, I don't know, they looked really stiff and robotic mm-hmm. or something. Like, I thought we were about to get something, some different reveal than what we actually got. What did you think when you saw that?
I think it definitely was going to be a situation of, you're not who we thought you were, yeah. you know, which is I think that's an appropriate a response to that situation, right? If someone's actually been from another dimension, you'd be like, why didn't you tell me, honey?
But she didn't know.
But yeah. she didn't know. But then they didn't know, and now they felt deceived. I don't know. But at the end of the day, it's like the ice cream man carried her back, and now her family just sees her as obviously alien, and that's how they looked at her. Also, did anyone else get like 12 monkey vibes from her? Her dimensional
from thing. Jennifer Goodwin?
Yeah. From her other dimension, her home dimension.
When we would actually see the flashes mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah,
yeah,
like La Jete. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
12 Monkeys. Okay, that I got that a little bit. Like the nuclear kind of thing.
Raven, the husband had a pretty strong feelings, but the daughters,
the daughters
creepy twin daughters were both just
creepy.
One. Yeah, they're a little creepy.
Only a little bit.
Yeah.
They just wanted to play with you.
Yeah, the Shining kids.
Yeah.
They just wanted to see their mom, and then the dad was like, nope, upstairs with you. Mommy's a fugitive. What did you think sort of about that whole family scene, the way it played out, and ultimately the way it ended?
Underwhelmed, surprised, but in the context of today, not so surprising. It just shows how quickly people believe things and accept them. Not even just believe it, but accept it.
Yes.
People who are your friends who just said I had tea with you are now like, a gas.
You know, just everybody lined up outside. Right. Like, oh, my God, I always knew she was terrible.
If that were me, you know, I'd be yelling, let my friend go. Like, it's nothing you can tell me that quick.
I mean, if it was you, I'd be sitting there like, yeah, something always didn't feel right about that. I should have known.
I'd be like, yo, where's that ice cream truck, though?
And that's really the takeaway we should have, right, mm-hmm. Angelica, that if it's the dead of winter and there's a foot of snow on the ground, creepy ice cream truck, stay away. There's something going on.
No, yeah. It's never the wrong time for ice cream.
I mean,
I will say this every single time. Yes, thank you.
What did you say?
It's never a wrong time for ice cream.
I mean, I agree. That's why. I mean, that's really the only reason I moved to Southern California so that the ice cream shops would be
acceptable.
Open year round.
Yeah,
yeah. Because you know where I grew up, the ice cream like closes like I don't know in November and it opens up again in March.
Really?
And I don't know what I'm supposed to do during
wait
all
really
time. Yeah like Dairy Street? Queen closes
my heart oh, wow. just broke
yeah, yeah it did, a thousand pieces
cool.
yeah.
No, there's not that many around but yeah
yeah well,
that's okay. All right well we'll take a field trip to the Dairy Queen at the mall.
See, I like that at the heck conclusion yeah. of the season finale. So okay, there's a few things. Now we've seen a similar storyline in other movies, and here's the thing. You've seen where there's a couple, and one of them finds out that one of them maybe is an alien, or one of them is something else, or you look like a white woman, but you're black, and it's the 40s. And, you know, if they love each other, and a lot of times there's that conflict, like, we shouldn't be together, but we love each other, and they stay together. And I thought it was real cold-blooded that he just was... He's just like, no, you shouldn't be here. Go. Now, granted, we did see, you know, the whole tear thing, so you did... We did get that, okay, he does feel some kind of a way, but just the fact that he was still so cold, that kind of rubbed me. To me, it seemed unrealistic, but well, again, to speak to what you said about how people are so quick to turn, we see that this whole cancel culture that we have now where people can love someone and, you know, let an old tweet resurface or an old video clip from 15 years ago, and now
hashtag.
It's like, oh, they're the worst person. I knew they were terrible all along. So I don't know, but I just feel like a loved one, you know, even your significant other, even if you find out they're an alien, you still loved that alien. Like, the alien is a different life form, but you love them for who they were. So what changed besides their genetic makeup?
Well, I think for him, the reason why he wished that that she hadn't come there was because he does still care about her, but it's like you jeopardize the well-being of your family. And also, if you ran, you probably could have gotten away. But you came back to the one place that, of course, they're going to go look for you first.
Of course, yeah. He called.
Right.
Because she left him a message. She left him a message.
Right.
I think he called.
Right. Yeah, old snitch.
And that was like, that's what we're all thinking, right? When she was trying to escape, we're like, honey, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
You're going to go back to the same spot?
I mean,
what's going to happen?
Because she doesn't even know how the supermarket works, you know? So
I love that whole, you know, scene, or, you know, the series of scenes where you get to see as they do the normal routine. And with Anna, it was one way. And with her, she was completely clueless. I like that. I like that contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think maybe a father might have been able to do that, where he would have been able to run and keep going and just be like, oh, I miss my family. Oh, and go on. But a mother, I think it's harder for a mother to really just completely abandon her babies. You know, the good ones anyway, because we know there are some bad ones. But the good ones, you know, so I don't blame her for going back.
Yeah. No, dumb. Because she wants to get her family and take her family with
right.
her. But maybe the thing to do is, you know, a little bit more Shawshank Redemption. You run away and then you send a postcard.
Right.
Yeah, they'll understand where you are. Yeah.
A little bit of logic.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be the Twilight Zone.
Because it was daytime when she got there, right? It was already daytime, which they told her, he told her, they're going to do the bed check in the morning or the bed count. I'm like, girl, it's already morning. This is bad.
And honestly,
waited till the night.
Yeah. Anna had some good intuition. Like, you know, maybe you should have gone with Anna, honestly.
Anna's like, I'm not getting in that ice cream truck.
I don't trust him.
I don't know where Anna went, but wherever she went, I bet she didn't get caught.
She didn't.
True that.
And see, my mind went to a whole different, like, Taken level, because I thought, okay, she's getting in this truck, and Anna's reluctant to get in the truck, but she's not going to get taken back home. They're going to, you know, well, they're going to sell her off.
Or do something I actually else. Thought it was going to be the metaphor for, you know, what you hear about coyotes taking people across mm-hmm. the Mexican border into the U.S. I actually thought that that's what it was going to be, which would have been a very darker thing. But I guess, I don't know, they only had 2 minutes left, so I guess they weren't going to introduce that storyline. But I that's what I thought. I wanted to give a shout out to one more of the actors in the episode. I do think Jennifer Goodwin was great as Eve, but the stern black-suited official who is interrogating her, that's James Frain, who plays mm-hmm. Sarek on Star Trek Discovery. He was also on Gotham a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I thought he was great as the... I don't think I like you, sir. That was my reaction, not Jennifer Goodwin. That's actually how I felt about him, but I thought mm-hmm. he was great. And, you know, a little... little CBS All Access cross promotion. So I thought, and the actress who played Anna, I also thought was great, especially mm-hmm. that scene where she has of like, you know, what's the name of one of my kids? You
right.
know? And
Danielle.
Yeah, I you know. Although let's just be, I would never let my help talk to me like that. I don't have any help. It's just a joke. I don't have help. But if I did, they would not be allowed to talk to me like that.
Can yeah. I say the daughters? That's me as a partner. Like, cook dinner for you. Grubhub.
Yeah.
I was about to say, the first thing that popped into my head, the first thing that went through my head was sponsored by Grubhub.
Yeah, the product placement's a little heavy-handed on some of these shows. Yeah. There's no commercials.
That
you got to pay for it somehow.
Starbucks cup in Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
man.
Well, I mean, think about how much people have been talking about Starbucks. That's the best product placement that you ever had.
You know Starbucks is milking that.
In the chat, we only have a couple minutes, but in the chat, Jack says the family situation changed and it made the family seem guilty by association, and he did not want to be attached to it. So they're just like, I can't have these girls taken away from me. I don't want to. I'm much too pretty to do time is probably what he was thinking.
And he probably thought she was lying to him the whole time, you know. And what are we going to do? We run from the law? Like,
not only that, but then, you know, in that kind of environment, in that neighborhood, you know, status is everything. Reputation and image is everything. So there's already a stain on them because it came out that she was a pilgrim. So it's like, okay, I don't want this stain. I want to go ahead and be able to restore my status, because in that kind of environment, as crazy as it sounds, that could have affected his job. That could have affected a whole bunch of stuff, because they're like, oh, you're sleeping with the enemy.
Yeah.
So.
And you know what else it could
affect? It was cold-blooded, but. What
keep
else
going,
could it
no,
affect? No. I did not want to mess up your segue.
We all want to hear it. The kids. There's a whole immigration metaphor here. What do we do with the kids?
Because the kids are half her.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They're part pilgrim, so to speak.
But
so.
Technically, they were born here, so.
But. What are we doing right now in politics
today?
Are
they naturalized born citizens? Right, but no, we're. Well, yeah.
Right?
Kind of.
They could have taken it, like, so many steps further to that.
That would have been even worse. That would have been even more on the nose, and we'd have probably complained about that. We'd have probably been like, oh, this was an episode that was, like, 40 minutes too long had they extended it to give us a little bit more, you know,
I needed something.
Background. But I did. I really just cared about the dimensional stuff and what happened to get them to come over and how they came over. All the other social commentary, I get it. We live it every day.
Yeah, I was like, can it be more on the nose?
I think it might be the most on the nose
it could possibly have been. Right up on the nose.
One comment from the chat. Leo Lima points out that from the old-time Twilight Zone was kind of a timeless vibe to the subjects they tackled. This one seems very rooted into the very specific immediate mm-hmm. concerns of 2019. You know, I think that it'll feel... It might even feel dated in like 5 years. And somebody, I think it was Stratagon, pointed out the Grubhub references won't age well. But that's what happens when you do product placement. Anyway, this is why we have the show, to start these kinds of conversations. And we're always happy that we get everyone in the chat to do it. And it's always fun talking to the three of you about it as well. And just one final thing is there was some some news about this show. I don't know if you all saw it, but on the day of the season finale, which is 2 weeks from today, all of the episodes will also be available on CBS All Access in black and white, like the original series was.
Wow.
So there's some of them that I think would actually look really cool in black and white. Yeah. And yes, we could go in and change the settings on our TV and watch them in black and white anytime we want to.
So will we be confused about those dimensional flashbacks?
When they're, you know what, those should be in color.
Ooh.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And the final thing is this was episode 8 in season 1 of The Twilight Zone. The original incarnation, season 1, episode 8, is Time Enough at Last, which is my all-time favorite episode. This was not on par with that. But anyway, we've kind of covered that over the last hour.
Wow.
In any case, just being on the nose about it.
All right.
Chaos J, where do people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, KAAOSJ. You can find me on Instagram, Chaos_Jones.
And A-Tray, if people want to know what you're eating this week, where should they go?
You can go to my Instagram at Angelica Trey or A-Tray on all the other platforms, including Twitch.
Raven?
You can find me here on Mondays, Gentleman Jack, check it out, HBO, and on social media, Raven French.
You can find me here a lot of days of the week, including Tuesdays, where I do the Chernobyl After Show, Tuesdays at 9 Pacific. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. We will be back next Thursday at 10 Pacific. Until then, we will see you all in the Twilight Zone.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.